All hearts clear this morning. You've probably noticed a theme in our hour together this morning. Therese and I didn't actually talk about this, but I think every point I had in mind this morning was expressed really well by Therese already, so think of what I'm doing as a review of the lesson this morning. I may have shared this with you before, but did you ever think, the formal and original name of our movement is the Religious Society of Friends. Every one of those words is a relationship word. Every one of them is a connection word. Religious. The root is lig, which is the same root as the word ligament. Of course, the ligament, what does it do? It connects bones and muscles. It's a connecting word. So religion is about reconnecting. The Religious Society has as its root socialis, which means companionship. A society is a group of human beings who are in relationship with one another. A connecting word. And of course, we know that friends are people who, according to Webster, know, like, and trust one another. Connecting. We are a connecting movement. And the main thing when we gather here is that. That's the main thing. So that when we are here, we get to reap the fruit of connecting, that good things can happen, and some good things can only happen when we're connecting. And so I hope that one of the things we'll begin to see is that we miss out on a great deal when we choose not to connect. And the other side of that, that perhaps you've never thought of, is that when we choose not to connect, we are also depriving other people of our contribution. That we have a responsibility. Maybe we should include this maybe in our membership class, that membership is, by the way, that's another connection word, membership. And the membership we're talking about is the kind of membership that your fingers and your eyes and your ears have to your body. In other words, everybody has a contribution to make by showing up. So the underlying theme, of course, here is how important it is to listen to what the writer to the letter of Hebrews talks about when he or she says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as has become the habit of some. I like the way one Quaker put it. The lone Quaker, she said, is an oxymoron. That is, these are two words that don't go together because they're sort of opposite from each other. The lone Quaker is an oxymoron. She says, we are a religious society, a gathered people who in community help each other listen, learn, and follow guidance. Our meetings, by the way, there's another connection word, meetings. Our meetings provide encouragement and support. In other words, there are really big, important ways that we help each other by connecting. We listen, we learn, we follow guidance, we encourage. We support one another. And yes, as your translation said, we even spur each other on to things once in a while. And maybe that's a good way of saying we can annoy each other enough to make each other do some things. We all need the irritation. So this particular passage in the letter to the Hebrews is about connecting. We're admonished to not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. Being Quaker, Being Christian is a shared life, or it's not experienced at all. That really rubs the wrong way against our more contemporary American individualism. I can do this myself. There's nothing wrong with going off in the woods by yourself to experience God. That can certainly be done. But you're still missing an awful lot if that's all you do. Because when we're well connected, we have this thing going on between us that can't be found any other way. How in the world could we belong to a religion in which we say specifically God is love, and those who don't love don't know God? How could we learn anything about love unless we're with other people? Because the lessons of love, if you agree with this, please do this. The lessons of love sometimes are difficult and they're painful and they happen between people. And sometimes we have to get it wrong a few times before it finally starts to get right. That only happens in community. It only happens if we connect. It's one of the ways we learn. So, yes, the spiritual life does need solitude. Of course, we have to get off by ourselves, and hopefully everybody finds a way to do that for a little while every day. But a balanced spiritual life has to include this social dimension, this part that happens as we together with each other. Sometimes I need somebody else to have my assumptions challenged. It just occurred to me that one of the ways to think about this is that in order to experience God, and the scriptures are full of this idea, it requires a certain humbling of ourselves, even a kind of self-forgetfulness. And, you know, if you're anything at all like me, I assume that I know a lot of stuff, and I'm not always interested in hearing what somebody else thinks. And I'm learning to see that it is a great gift to me that people challenge what I say once in a while, because I have a tendency to overlook the parts that I don't like. Are you like me? It takes a certain amount of forgetting myself and even bracketing off what I think I already know. One of the things I ran across the other day was a prayer to start a spiritual gathering with, and it basically said something to the effect of, Lord, help me to forget everything that I think I know about you and about me and about everything else. Help me to forget that right now so that my heart opens up to receive what is here for me today. Yes, there will be a time to perhaps critically evaluate what somebody else says, but we're not going to gain anything from it until we open ourselves up a little bit and listen to the teaching of Jesus, which says that the poor in spirit are the ones who are going to know the kingdom of God. That's ancient wisdom. Because it's only when we're challenged that we can see our own weaknesses, our own unexamined assumptions, and that has to happen with other people. I was thinking about, there were five of us, I think, who met every Wednesday night for an entire year down in the fellowship room, and we went through a book by Brian McLaren, which was basically an overview of the entire Bible's biblical story from Genesis through Revelation. And every Wednesday night, we would pick out some passages of this that were in this book by Brian McLaren and just have a really good discussion. And we brought into it not just the scholarship and the things that the book had to say, but also what we're seeing in the world around us and what our own experiences have been. And we really got to know each other a lot better. I could have read this book by myself, and I probably would have gained a few things from it, but it wasn't anything like the experience I had because I met with these other four or five people week after week. It was a growing experience because we shared our questions, even some of our doubts, even Sometimes when things just didn't seem to add up that we were reading, I would have missed an awful lot if I just stayed home and read that book by myself. I was looking at a book that had some quotation by a Quaker, a Burundian Quaker, African, David Nyanzima, excuse me. And he speaks about a triangle made up of God, myself, and my neighbor. And he says that in Burundian villages, many people make a fire between three stones and then place a cooking pot on those three stones. He says, I've never heard of anyone just trying to cook on two stones. In fact, he says it's dangerous because if you manage to warm the water on the two stones, by the time the water boils, the pot will get agitated and fall down and burn whoever is near. And just so, he concludes that a faith that only exists between you and God, like a pot on only two stones, is an incomplete faith. You know, among Quakers, I've been doing this for nearly 30 years now, into lots of yearly meetings, lots of gatherings. Sometimes it boils over. Sometimes the pot boils and it shakes, and you better stand clear. We have our disagreements. But I also want to say, I think that it's precisely in those kinds of settings that we can learn something about tolerance, something about acceptance, something about bracketing off what we already think in order to hear somebody else's point of view. That's probably the biggest problem that's going on when we have these big disagreements, that we enter the room and think we already know it all. Yeah, we can have convictions. We should have convictions. We ought to listen carefully to each other. We can learn to disagree in love and care. We learn to talk it out. We pray together. Sometimes I remember being in lots of meetings where it got so tense that the clerk in wisdom said, let's just be quiet together for a while. Let's cease speaking. Let's listen together. And remarkably, almost miraculously, probably miraculously, peace sometimes was restored just by that period. And we found our way through. We continued to be friends, even though we may not still agree on everything. I submit that that's what's missing in the world right now. The ability to listen to each other, because this great human tendency to want so much to be right and to be shown to be right that we cease to be loving. We have to win. My side has to win. Sorry, I'm getting away from my text here. I better get back on it. Isn't that what's wrong, largely? Closed-minded arrogance. The goal isn't to learn and grow or even find a workable answer to things that everyone can accept. It's to have my way. So often, God's answer to me comes through the lips of someone else. We share this time together week after week where we become quiet and we listen for the Spirit speaking, and so often someone will rise and say something that probably were the most important words uttered that morning rather than the sermon or anything anyone else said. It's humbling. We call these leadings, right? Or openings. And largely that sitting in silence for a while before we begin to speak is our way of opening. It's our way of breathing yes to God. That I'm willing to learn something here, or that I'm willing to be made new even. Because this old air that's in me is getting pretty stale. I need to exhale that and breathe in something new from God's Spirit. So often somebody else has something to offer from the Spirit that I need to hear. We need you to be here. That's how we find guidance. It's such a gift to watch this happen among us. A dear friend who survived a scare with cancer now makes it a ministry to reach out to other people who are struggling to give them hope and encouragement and support when they're facing a difficult diagnosis. Or our wonderful clerk who's in the room right now often will stand on Sunday morning and tell us about something that's going on in this community, some ministry, and simply say, you can get involved in this if you want to. You know what she's doing? She's provoking us to love and good works. That's important. That's why we're here. Sometimes somebody will stand and talk about something that's going on in the schools or some other aspect of our community where poverty is really making life difficult for people, share what's going on, and suddenly we're invited to, do you want to be part of this? That's what the early Quakers, that's what we've always done as a movement. Someone will get a leading, the Spirit will speak, people will decide to respond to it. You can't do this in your solitude at home. That's important for some things, but not this, usually. Even if we get a leading at home, we better test it with somebody else. I have felt the comforting, strengthening, stabilizing presence of certain individuals who just show up sometimes. You know anybody like that? Somebody who's just sort of exudes this peace of God when they're around you. That is a gift. That makes me want to come back. I'm going to wind it up here. By the way, I think that's what Dennis Kinzer did last week, wasn't it? He sort of stirred us to love, and I listened to the CD of the service last week. That was powerful. Here's something that's going on. You can join in and help if you want to, and thank God we have already begun to do that. Because the lone Quaker is an oxymoron. It's some kind of a moron. Here's what George Fox said. Mind that which is eternal, which gathers your hearts together up to the Lord, unless you see that ye are written in one another's hearts. Amen.